Hey, everybody, I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about today.
Dass der Verdächtige ein ukrainischer Staatsbürger ist, ist das eine. Ich würde daraus noch keine Rückschlüsse ziehen.
I don't know if you can tell. Obviously, you can't. Unless you speak German, you don't know exactly what he's saying. But look, here's what's going on. Europe is all abuzz because arrest warrants have finally been issued against Ukrainians accused of blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. Where does this investigation lead? Part of what you just heard in that interview will explain it. I'm going to take you through it. I'm Rick Sanchez. Hey, let's do this. All right, so that's the big story. It is a buzz. I mean, it is a buzz. It should be a buzz, right? Germany has officially issued arrest warrants for the people it believes that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. And it does point directly at Ukraine, according to investigators.
Dass der Verdächtige ein ukrainischer Staatsbürger ist, ist das eine. Ich würde daraus noch keine Rückschlüsse ziehen, was die Beteiligung von Staaten angeht. Das muss sicher ermittelt werden. Aber immerhin gibt es erste Fahndungserfolge jetzt, Ermittlungserfolge.
I don't know if you can tell, if you can read along, but let me help you. That's the reaction of one German member of parliament saying, yeah, it was definitely Ukrainians, a bunch of Ukrainians. But then he goes on to say that we should not read into that, that Ukraine was responsible. Huh? Explain to me, please, because that's difficult to understand. All right, so let me tell you, let me catch you up by just giving you the rest of the investigation, what seems to be reported at this point. The German chief prosecutor has ordered the arrest of a man who is now apparently hiding in Ukraine, though he was originally living in Poland when he allegedly masterminded this attack, along with a couple of other Ukrainian military officials who put the whole thing together after a night of heavy drinking. Stay with me here. Then they managed to pull off one of the most incredible and destructive acts of sabotage in European history by blowing up one of the most important infrastructure parts of the Russian economy, the gas pipelines that help fuel the homes of most German citizens and other Europeans. Those gas pipelines sit about, 300 feet deep underwater, okay? Not easy to get to. These suspects did all that supposedly by themselves using a relatively small sailboat that you're looking at right there in the middle of the Baltic Sea. The sailboat is called the Andromeda. It's about 15 meters long, which apparently had explosive residues on it, which match the explosives used in the blast. All right, so let's just stop there. There's a lot more to tell, and there's a lot to catch you up, but that's kind of where we are. Manila, let me bring you in at this point for reaction, given that that's kind of the story in a nutshell.
Yeah, and that's, underscore that part, Rick. The story, that's the story that we're getting right now. And remember, we didn't hear the story until many, many, many months after this, basically it was a seismic event, at least according to Danish authorities, because they had seismic monitoring equipment that was on Bornholm Island that had said it registered the equivalent of 500 kgs worth of TNT, this explosive event. And let me remind you, Rick, when this went down in the fall of 2022, I'm going to bring you back to my part of the world where I'm from, in Hollywood. In early 2023, the writer's strike happened, right? So when the news story hit about what happened to Nord Stream, it's this ridiculous story that makes no sense, that's full of holes. We don't know who the villains are, who the whatever are. And I would say it's because Washington couldn't get their hands on decent writers at the time because it was a writer's strike.
So they left it up to people like Seymour Hersh. All right, so let's continue. You're right. The story so far doesn't make sense, but for the first time, they're saying it was Ukraine, but at the same time, they're saying it was not
Rick,
Ukraine. So too
Rick,
often in this
Rick,
business.
Rinky dink.
Go ahead.
Rinky dink sailboat. You just showed the Andromeda. It's a rinky dink little sailboat, and the seismologists on Bornholm say this is 500 kilos worth of explosives. So we're not talking about a Mickey Mouse little, sabotage event. 500 kilos is a heavy thing.
Yeah, no, they're
you
not.
You don't get a couple of drunk guys to swim under and carry 500 kilos.
They're not robbing a convenience store, and that almost seems like what they're saying. So let's continue. Too often in this business, and this is why we want to do this, we tell stories like these without proper context. And many of you are watching us from all over the world right now, and you probably don't know the background. I don't blame you. You got a life to live, right? You don't understand the history, the significance of the Nord Stream pipeline. Without that, it's kind of hard to understand why this whole thing happened, who may have done it, and why they possibly could have done it. So here's some background. This is a DW documentary we found that kind of lays out the facts quite clearly. Here it is.
Championed by two friends, Russia's Vladimir Putin and former German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder.
We need this gas, and it's the most economical way to get it. And everyone who deals with energy policy knows that.
This cheap gas flowed directly from Vyborg, Russia, to Lubmin in Germany, a distance of over 1,200 kilometers. The pipeline right through the Baltic was a kick in the teeth for Eastern European countries who'd long earned good money from the pipelines running through their territories.
Ukraine was skeptical right from the start, as it foresaw exactly what, in fact, would happen, namely this bypassing of Ukraine and other countries like Poland, which also saw the risks, and because they themselves had pipeline systems which supplied gas to Western Europe.
Sounds to me, if you listen to that, like Russia and Germany were simply taking out the middlemen to be able to provide the gas from this point to this point directly, right? More efficiently and cheaper from Russia to the people of Germany. They were essentially cutting out the middlemen. Manila, that's important here, right?
Well, you know, Rick, you can earn a pretty penny being the middleman. And in this case for Ukraine, this provides the motive. Because now when you cut out the middleman, which is Ukraine, you're cutting out about $1.5 billion worth of transit fees that Russia otherwise used to have to pay by going over land to go into Western Europe to transport this natural gas.
Interesting.
So we're talking big money here, $1.5 billion per year on average, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that is a lot of money for a country like Ukraine, who never really reassembled their economic viability after the fall of the Soviet Union. They've kind of been stuck in the 90s. So that was really kind of their main major source of income for the state was transit fees that they were charging Russia in order to traverse across their land.
That's a great point. That's a really great point. And they're not the only ones here. So Poland's angry, Ukraine is angry. Hey, you're cutting us out. We want some of that money. Meanwhile, the people of Europe are going, hey, that's great. It's cheaper for us to be able to heat our homes. But there's something else here. This is where Seymour Hersh comes in and others who have reported this kind of thing. And that is, it's impossible to look at this story without taking into account which country was against the Nord Stream pipeline from the start and which country had the most to gain from its destruction. And that country is us, the United States. Don't take my word for it. What do I know? Listen to what the U.S. ambassador to Germany said about it. And then listen to President Biden say, before Nord Stream was blown up, that he was going to do that. His own words. End it. That's what he said. I'm going to end it. Listen.
Nord Stream 2 would simply give Russia an opportunity to put more of a stranglehold on Ukraine and Ukraine's economy during this time of tension. And so we were very much against it for geopolitical purposes.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
We will bring an end to it. Before all that happened, I'm going to give you some numbers now. Ready? Before all that happened, 2021, 47% of Europe's imported natural gas came from Russia, delivered inexpensively and directly through those pipelines, about four pipelines. In fact, some European countries relied so much on Russia that they had almost 80% of their natural gas coming in from Russia. Now, only about 15% of Europe's gas comes from Russia. Some say 13, some say 14, some say 15, some whatever. Somewhere in that number. It's not around 50% like it used to be. So you ask yourself, okay, so where's that natural gas coming into Europe from now? If you guessed the United States, you would be right. How much? More than 50% of the natural gas now being used and received in Europe comes from the United States. Oh, and Manila, we should mention that U.S. gas that they're now getting in Europe is about twice as expensive as it used to be when they got it from Russia. Ain't making it up. Those are the numbers.
Well, you know. Well, Rick, when you're such good friends like Russia and Germany are, the United States and Germany now,
yeah.
When you're such good friends, you don't mind paying a little bit more, Rick. It's quality made in the USA. But then, unfortunately, because you're a government, you have to deal with the fallout from your citizens. And then when you also export third party, the cheap gas you used to get from Russia into the rest of the European Union, and at the time the UK was part of that, and they were also reaping the benefits of this mm-hmm. cheap Russian natural gas. Everybody in Europe's gas prices, obviously their energy prices have shot through the roof over the past 2 years,
yeah.
And that's why we're seeing so many demonstrations across all of the EU and the UK. I mean, besides some civil strife, people are still very upset and angry about the conditions that have been caused for them because these pipelines are now gone. And let's not forget, Rick, these pipelines are not just easy to explode by some drunk dudes on a play yacht, right? These are giant, fortified, heavy, thick steel, giant pipes, right, that are fortified over and over and over, covered in rubberized material, plastics. This isn't like a pipe in your house bringing, you know, the gas to your stove. We're talking a major industrial pipeline. It's not easy to just blow up. Now, as far as the Germans go, a guy called August Hanning, he's the former head of the Germans version of the CIA, the German Foreign Intelligence Agency,
yeah.
He is now quoted talking to the press, German press, that is, that he says he has reason to believe that Poland, alongside Ukraine, was also involved in this sabotage. And then, again, let's also not leave this part out. Russia was not allowed to partake in the investigation over the past nearly 2 years.
Even though they're the victims.
Because it's Denmark's territory.
Even though they're the victims.
It's their pipeline, along with Germany. Somewhere between $11 and $13 billion spent on this. It's your project. You're not allowed to investigate what happened to your product, to your thing, to your infrastructure. I mean, there's so many holes in this, Rick. It's unbelievable how they can't kind of piece this all together and fill in the gaps.
It's like the old saying, just walk along. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Just walk along. We'll take care of this for you. Don't worry. We'll tell you what we find out. We'll let you know. That's why we're looking into this. And that's why context matters. And that's why this information is important. And we're going to be talking in a You go ahead.
One more quick thing. One thing that nobody bothers to also point out, the destruction and the fallout from this gas explosion, is we forget that this is basically eco-terrorism. Besides infrastructure terrorism to Germany, that is a NATO ally to the United States, the explosion, you know, took place in Danish territory. It has been estimated that more than 115,000 tons of natural gas escaped and damaged the wildlife and the ocean floor.
Yeah, nobody's talking about it.
It
took
over a month.
You're right.
No. It's eco-terrorism as well. So the animals here are also dying. So no one's talking about that.
We're gonna go to a quick break. Thanks, Manila. You're the best and a half. And when we come back, we're gonna stay on this Nord Stream pipeline thing, and we're gonna be joined by George Samueli. Now, he's a senior research fellow at Global Policy Institute who monitors the numbers that we were just talking about and can take us through this a little more, because this is a drill down we should be doing. This is important. Nobody in the US who watches regular newscasts will probably know about it, but the rest of the world is paying attention. We'll be right back. Hey, I'm Rick Sanchez. Welcome back to Direct Impact. I'm joined now by George Samueli, senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute. You know, George, this is one of those stories where, as we like to say, if it quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck. The United States had most to gain from the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline. The United States has since then gained the most from the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline. And yet there are people out there saying, oh no, Russia just destroyed its own pipelines. And please don't look at the U.S. and don't look at Ukraine as possibly being responsible for this. Am I crazy or just living in an upside down world?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's very, very funny that this big Wall Street Journal story that appeared the other day makes a number of very interesting disclosures. And one has to assume that the Wall Street Journal is being briefed by U.S. intelligence. Yeah. So according to the journal, this drunken idea, hey guys, let's blow up Nord Stream, you know, great, let's go do it now. So this was hatched in May, and then already in June, this is June 2022, Dutch intelligence gets wind of it. Don't know how the Dutch get in there, but Dutch seem to have the right in front. They pass this information not to the Germans, they pass this information to the CIA. And the CIA passes it on to the Germans. So June 2022, Germany is already fully cognizant of what Ukraine is doing. Hmm. But there's another twist to it. According to the CIA, it was Zelensky himself who gave the order to go ahead and do this. And he told Zaluzhny, the top military man, so go organize it, get it done. And then the Americans apparently said, no, don't do it, don't, you know, yeah. this is dangerous, this is escalatory. The last thing we want to do is escalate tensions. And so Zelensky apparently then went to Zaluzhny and say, no, we got to call it off. And Zaluzhny told him, well, you know where you can stuff that, and still went ahead with it. So Germany knew about this 3 months before the destruction of the pipeline. The Americans knew about this 3 months before. The Dutch knew about this 3 months before. And yet when it happens, they allow this nonsensical accusation to be made that, oh, Russia did it to itself. You know, for some reason, Russia wanted to destroy its own property. Oh, well, this is really bad. You know, what's remarkable about this is that if what this is what they're saying that Zelensky hatched this plan, instructed Zaluzhny to do it, and then Zaluzhny just said, I'm going to go ahead and do it, then you're basically signing off on sending arms, billions and billions upon dollars, the worst, most deadly weapons imaginable, to people who are destroying your own infrastructure. You know, I mean, as
that's a great point. That's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that. That is an absolute.
That's what you're doing. Yeah, these are the people you're financing. They're there to destroy your own infrastructure, your own energy industry. They're making you economically, financially dependent upon the United States. They're wiping out your industry. And these are your allies. These are the people you want to go on financing. This is the people
That's a great point. Help us understand that. This is the one quagmire in all of this that I've never understood. Maybe I just don't understand the German ideology. Maybe I don't get it. But why would Germany not be on a full-out assault to get to the bottom of this, to find out who did this horrible thing that is going to make their citizens have to pay more, possibly not be able to heat their homes through the winter, and all of these things, not to mention sabotaging their own infrastructure, because it was really shared infrastructure, if you think about it. I mean, if it's a gas pipeline that takes gas from Russia to Germany, it's half German and half Russian, even though it's Russian, but it's part of their infrastructure. Why would they be so nonchalant about it? That's the part of the story I don't understand. Can you help us understand?
It's very hard to understand other than to think of Europe as now occupied territory. I mean, Europe has no independence, no sovereignty of its own. It's a colonial outpost of the United States. So Germany cannot begin an investigation because it knows perfectly well that the investigation is going to point to the real culprit, and that's the boss, the one who owns everything. So you're not going to investigate and point the finger at
well,
the boss.
How did they get so? I just showed some video a minute ago that was really cool. You see Gerhard Schroeder and Vladimir Putin shaking hands, saying, "Hey, let's do this. It makes sense. It'll be good for you, your people. It'll be good for me, my people. Hey, hooray! Signed deal. Let's do it." How did they go from that, where two countries could just have an understanding? You don't have to like the other country, but if you've got a business deal, you got a business deal, right? How did they go from that to what you were just talking about, where they just, we don't want gas. We're willing to suffer to make sure that we don't get anything good for our people from Russia.
Well, think, the Gerhard Schroeder. Gerhard Schroeder in 2002... came out against the American plan to invade Iraq. Uh-huh. Very open, very upfront. He said, "We're not taking part in any adventures. Moreover, we're not even going to allow our country to be used to send forces. We're not going to help the Americans to use our country to transport men, armor, transportation to Iraq." It was a very hard line that he took.
Yeah.
And one day Schroeder lost the next election. So in other words, the Germans chose to be a supplicant, to be a totally dependent entity. They had a chancellor who was actually saying, "Yeah, we're not going to take any part. We're not going to allow America to use our territory for this nonsensical adventure." And he was rejected by the German voters. And they got this creature, Angela Merkel, who had to endure humiliation after humiliation. And she didn't mind. She found out that her own telephone was tapped. The Americans were listening in to all her personal phone calls. And she didn't have a problem with that. And the Germans didn't have a problem. Barack Obama went to Germany. He was treated like a hero. Whoa, he's a great man. He was listening in to the chancellor's phone conversations. And the Germans had no problem with it. And now Schroeder is a marginalized figure in Germany. He's constantly trying to defend himself. They're inflicting humiliation after humiliation.
But he was right. But he was right about everything he did.
He was right. Absolutely.
He was 100% right. Everybody else was wrong. Yeah. So what happens now? I mean, we've got this investigation. Looks like at least it's an investigation. There's some guy who did this who's hiding out in Ukraine. Shouldn't the rest of the world say to Ukraine and its government, "Hey, give this guy up. He's a terrorist"? Who's saying that? And why not?
Well, of course, again, nobody really wants to go and investigate this too far, because if, of course, Ukraine were to give him up, he's going to start pointing fingers. He's not going to take the rap. So he's going to say, I did it. And you know who told me to do it? I've got the phone conversation with Zaluzhny, or Zelensky. So nobody's going to want to press ahead with this. Ukraine doesn't have an extradition treaty with Germany. I don't think Ukraine has an extradition treaty with anybody. So Ukraine's not going to give him up. He was in Poland. Poles allowed him to escape. They got wind of, Germany is going to make an extradition request. So they said, bye-bye. You can go now. Sorry, he's gone. He's out of our hands. So no one's going to go ahead with this. And there was an article I read today about Zaluzhny. He said, Zaluzhny is now the Ukrainian ambassador to the UK. So he enjoys diplomatic immunity. So you can't do anything about him. Oh, I see. So you can have arrest warrants issued to Russian president, arrest warrants against Libyan presidents and whoever. But
you
apparently
can't.
A Ukrainian ambassador has immunity.
You can't.
There's nothing we can do.
You cannot make this stuff up. You couldn't. A guy in Hollywood, as my colleague Manila would say, couldn't come up with a story as ridiculous as this. And yet they do, and nobody's looking, so they can get away with it. George, you're a delight to talk to. Thank you, my friend. Enjoyed the conversation.
Well, I enjoyed it very much. Bye, Rick.
That's our show. Can you believe this stuff? Ugh. Look, I always say, try and look outside your own box when you're looking for truths. Truths don't live in boxes. Boy, is this ever a great example of that, huh? I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you en la próxima, next time.